I mentioned to you previously that I was going to be doing a little talk on anger, and really a whole series of talks on anger. I just entitled it Learning to Live with Anger. And so it's just my confident assertion that most of us deal with anger in one form or another. In fact, when we look at the tape and the CD sales here at New Heights, the all-time bestseller is a talk that I did several years ago on anger, far more than any other. Now, I realize the people who got that obtained that tape to share with a friend, you know, who has a problem and so on, so that's fine. But anger is a real and serious issue, and I don't think I need to spend a lot of time documenting that. I mean, most of us are more than aware of homes devastated by anger and relationships destroyed by anger and jobs made unlivable by anger. It's a huge thing. And so I just want us to kind of today focus a little bit on the whole issue, because I think everyone here deals with it in some way. There are folks here, you know, you have an anger problem. Maybe you're like me. You were raised with anger, and you just come by anger naturally. And so it's something that you really have a real challenge with, and you constantly need to work with. And so if you're here, that's great. There are others of you here, you live with anger. You are maybe in an angry home or an angry work relationship, and so your challenge is learning how to manage the anger that goes by, and that's a tough thing. There's a third group here. You say, you know what? Now, I don't live with anyone who's angry. I don't have an anger problem. I really never even been angry. It's not an issue. Listen, you have an anger problem now with the rest of us who hate you, okay? So just get that one clear. The truth of it is everybody struggles with anger at one level or another. And let me just say this as we begin, because for me this is an important statement. Even people who don't appear to be angry wrestle with anger. And sometimes people miss that. I mean, yes, there is the kind of person that, you know, who's got the volcanic anger, they're the hot responder, they're easy to spot, and hey, he's got a problem with anger. But I want to tell you, there are other ways to express anger that are just as potent, even though they may not be as explosive. Some of you are masters of a different kind of anger. You wait, and at the right moment, you make the caustic remark, you make the cutting comment, and it slices someone open just as much as if you'd use a scalpel. The truth is, that kind of anger can be hugely destructive too. There are other people here who are masters of anger, and the way that you show your anger is just by backing up. At the moment that someone needs you to step forward to them, you know how to back up and make them pay. You understand how to withhold love and to use it as a weapon, as an angry tool to punish people. And listen, that's a potent expression of anger too. There's some of you here, your anger is something you're afraid to look at. You were raised with anger. It's a frightening subject for you. And frankly, you're afraid to take the lid off because you're not sure what would come rushing out. So it's my presumption that everybody deals with anger, that all of us face that kind of a challenge. And so today I want to talk with you specifically about the subject of anger and all the old myths about anger. If we don't unlearn some things, we can't learn the things that we need to learn. And there are a lot of old myths about anger. It may shock you to find out that my goal is not to help you make your anger go away. I don't know how to do that. The truth of it is, all of us face anger at a certain level. The challenge for us is, will we manage the anger that we face? And so that's why the series is titled Learning to Live with Anger, because I don't know how to make it go away. But if we can learn to manage our anger, it would make a huge difference. Because the truth of it is, if we can manage our anger appropriately, it'll keep us from destroying our relationships and undermining our self-esteem and contradicting our claim that we're a follower of Jesus Christ. Because there are many people here who are just absolutely struck and struck down because anger gets a grip in terms of their soul. Now, so I want to invite you to come learn about anger management with me, okay? And I know for some of you it's like, oh boy, I don't know. I'm not like you. And so right away, I feel the defensive questions like, well, what do you mean by anger? I mean, I'm bothered by some things, you know, and I'm occasionally irritated, but I'm not necessarily angry. So for you, I have a story, okay? It's a story of a dad who was helping his daughter with their homework. And this happened to be vocabulary night. And what she was required to do was to write a sentence using the vocabulary words in order to show that she knew the difference. And so she went to her dad and said, Daddy, would you help me? Because I have three words here, bothered and irritated and angry. And I have to write them in a sentence to show that I know how different they are. And I don't know what they are. And so her daddy said, you know, I think I can help you with that. In fact, I think I can even show you what those things look like. And so he leaned forward and he picked up the telephone and picked up a line on the speakerphone so that she could listen in. And then he dialed a number randomly. And when the guy picked up the phone on the other end, he put on his best radio voice and he said, "This is radio station KGUI, K-Guy, and our guy for today is Malcolm. If Malcolm is there, he's won $4,000. And the guy said, "There's nobody named Malcolm here," and hung up. And Daddy said, "See, he's bothered. Because it's about dinner time, and he doesn't want to be bothered with strange calls. Now, let me show you what irritated looks like." And he hit redial. Same guy picks up the phone. Daddy says in his best radio voice, "This is radio station KGUI, and our guy for today is Malcolm. And if Malcolm is there, he's won $4,000. And the guy says, "There's nobody here named Malcolm. Now leave me alone." Boom, slams the phone down. Daddy says, "See, now he's irritated. Let me show you what anger looks like." And he pushes redial. Phone just rings once. The guy on the other end snatches it up and says, "What do you want?" Daddy changes his voice entirely and says, "Hi, this is Malcolm. Are there any calls for me?" And then his daughter got to hear what anger sounds like. So I don't know where you are on the scale, but trust me, whether you call it bothered or irritated or angry, the truth of it is all of us have issues with the subject of anger, okay? And I want us to learn. And the first thing to do is to learn by unlearning, to destroy some of the old myths. And nothing helps the myths go away like the words of Scripture that tell us the truth. And so I want you to look especially with me at just one verse today. If you look on the inside of your worship folder, there's a single sheet that says today's talk. And you'll find printed there Colossians 3, verse 8. Now, for some of you I know, we ran out of worship folders. So what you'll have to do is fight someone near you for a copy, okay? And it'll get you in the mood for the whole anger talk, okay? So you may have to share a little bit, but it's not too hard. It's just one verse, and you can scribble notes anywhere you want. But let's stand together, please, and we'll read the passage. Colossians 3, verse 8, and then a little bit of an antidote to the whole subject, which is found in verses 12 through 14. So this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to people who say that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says, Colossians 3, 8. "But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." And then now we'll jump down to verse 12 because, as I say, it's a little bit of the antidote, and we'll look at that only a little bit today. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Okay, have a seat if you will, please. And today, as I say, we'll be looking at the anger myths and sort of unlearning some things. Next week, we'll be looking at the anger sources, some of the trigger points for anger. And then the week after that, we'll talk about how to deal with angry people. You should be well into Christmas shopping by then, so you'll be able to put this stuff to work right away, okay? And then the next week after that, we'll talk about how to be good and angry. And that is a concept that doesn't work for some of you, but it's possible. And then stick with it, because by the end of the month, we'll be talking about anger's ultimate enemy. And I don't want you to miss that, because there I want to give you this skill, one of the most critical skills necessary for real anger management. So it's 1 month, and it's a month in which you and I can learn together, okay? Today, I want us to just sort of dispel some of the myths about anger. And as I say, nothing does it so well as the words of Scripture. So Colossians 3, verse 8 gives us five words for anger, each one of them important. "But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." So what I want to do is just go through those five different words. And you can just sort of follow along, because each one of them really is, if you understand what they're about, a clear understanding of them will help you say, wait a minute, then the myths can't possibly be true. So the first word is anger. That's how we translate it. And it's the feeling and expression of strong displeasure. If you want to fill that out in your notes, the feeling and expression of strong displeasure. The Greek word is orge, and it means sudden anger. And it's talking about volcanic anger. It's talking about anger where, you know, some of you have that. You just erupt. Now, some of you here are hot responders. I'm one of those. And it's boom, it's just right there. That's what this word is about. And the emphasis here is on the feeling, okay? It's the feeling that actually comes before the expression. That is, there is a root for our anger, and it's physiological and emotional. Our eyes really do widen. and our heart does pump faster, and our blood pressure really does go up. And if you don't know that about anger, then you're going to misunderstand some things. So that first word is very, very important. Now, the second word is rage. You say, now, wait a minute. We didn't fill out the myth blanks. It's okay. Don't get mad. We'll get to it. Okay? Relax. All right? So the second word is rage. And rage is a state of anger based upon real or perceived wrong. A state of anger based upon real or perceived wrong. And the key word here is state. That is, this is lingering anger. This is established anger. And it's anger that gets focused on someone or something. And some of you have surprised yourself by finding out that you have that capacity. You say, well, listen, as you come in, really, this anger stuff is good, but I don't have any real anger problems right now. And then someone sits down in front of you and you see their face, boom. What is he doing here? What is she doing here? And you realize that you are in a state of anger. See, that's an important thing. There's some people who think they aren't angry, but if I show you the right face or I mention the right subject, we'll find out that you're in a state of anger. And it's a kind of a continuous thing. That's very important. The third thing is malice. The third word is malice, which is a desire to do evil to someone or something. The desire to do evil, the Greek word kakia, comes from the word kakos, which means nasty. Sounds nasty, doesn't it? Kakos. and it's when you want to do nasty to someone or something. And so this is smoldering anger. This is get even anger. And again, some of you have shocked yourself. You didn't realize you had the capacity. But someone has gotten you angry, and at some point you found yourself plotting revenge. You amazed yourself by finding yourself really rolling over in your mind what I would really like to do. And it may be a shock to you that you have that capacity, but we all do. The next word is slander. And this is the desire to speak evil of someone or something. A little typo there, someone or something. A desire to speak evil. The Greek word here is blasphemia. You can hear a word blasphemy in that. If we speak evil of God, we blaspheme God. But you know what? It's possible to blaspheme your friends, to speak evil of other people. And this is what it's really talking about. This is tell them off anger, okay? That's what it is. This is where you really just want to tell somebody off. And, and you know, the thing is, the emphasis here is that it's a desire to do that. You may never do it. You just want to, okay? Some people live their whole life wishing they could tell somebody off, and they never do it. It's interesting how many people wait to the end of their life, and then they tell people off. Sometimes it happens in their will. Heinrich Heine, the novelist and philosopher, German novelist and philosopher, waited until the end of his life to tell off his wife. Listen to what he says. This is out of his last will and testament. See if you can feel any anger here, okay? He said, I bequeath all my property to my wife on the condition that she remarry immediately. Then there will be at least one man to regret my death. I'm sensing some anger there. I don't know, maybe. It just feels like it. It's interesting to me, you know. I mean, some people, they wait to the end. I have several books of epitaphs. I'm always amazed what people say about someone after they die. This is what one man put on his wife's gravestone. Listen, she was never really charming until she died. Baby. I'm thinking there's anger there. You understand? There's some people, you see, they want to tell them off, but they can't do it. They wait until it's safe. Okay? There are other people, they just tell everybody off. This is one of my favorite gravestones from a guy who I think was telling everyone off. This is what he put on his own gravestone. What are you looking at? Now, there must have been a really fun guy, you know? You kind of feel that. So, okay, fifth word for anger, take a look at it. That's filthy language. And that's just vulgar speech in response to anger. This is cuss them out anger. This is when you take out your bowling words, okay? This is your special vocabulary that you use when people are making international gestures of friendship in the car or to the person that just cut them off, and the words that you're shouting through the windshield that they can't quite hear, okay? How come I don't have to explain this more than that? I think you know that one. All right, so that's another form of anger. Okay, now, if you know these five words for anger, then you're able to actually kind of put away the myths that go along with them. So let's just take a minute or two and go right back through the same five words and talk about them. The first word, anger itself, which is the feeling and expression of strong displeasure. Okay, here's the myth that goes along with it. Mature, healthy, spiritual people don't get angry. This is a myth, but people believe it. Mature, healthy, spiritual people don't get angry. And let me just comment on that. Oh, yes, they do. That's the truth. See, if all it was a matter of just kind of growing up and then anger would go away, you know what the scripture would say? Grow up. But it doesn't say that. The scripture actually challenges us to deal with the anger that we have. Because real people, responsible, mature, healthy, spiritual people, they get angry. The Apostle Paul got angry. Peter got angry. Jesus got angry. If Jesus could get angry, listen, you can get angry too. And the reason why is just the definition of the word. It's about a feeling. The word means sudden anger. And it can happen to all of us because it's built in. If you get the feeling, sometimes the action is called for. I mean, you feel it calling out to you. All you need is the feeling. You see? Now, let me give it to you, okay? Stand up. In this summit, everywhere, stand up. We're going to just work on this one together, all right? And from the summit, I want you to respond too. I'm going to say to all of you here, yes, in my angriest voice. And you're going to say back to me, no, in your angriest voice, okay? We'll do it a couple of times and see how it works out. Ready? Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Sit down! Oh, you defiant people, would you please be seated? Even in the summit, they're like, oh, yeah. See, I get the emotion. Some of you, you're charged up. You don't need caffeine now, do you? You got the feeling going. Yeah. Someone said, no. In the summit right now, there's a fist fight. Just broke out. You get the feeling and you want to express it. You understand what I'm saying? It's a feeling before it's an action. I mean, some of you right now, you're worked up. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to listen to the rest of this. Just turn to the person next to you and slug them, okay? They'll appreciate it. Okay, don't do that. All right. You see what I'm saying? Look, the question is not, will you feel anger? Yes, you will. The question is, how will you handle it? See, anger is not something you can miss. All of us will get angry. The question is, will you manage it wisely? If you buy the myth, you'll never get it, because anger can only be managed. It cannot be removed. Don't believe that it can be. Okay? Now, second myth follows right after that. This is the one that's tied to the word rage. And rage, of course, is a state of anger. Okay? And the myth is, I cannot control my anger. And I hear this from a lot of people. You hear this one a lot. Listen, some guy will say to me, look, I get so angry and I just can't control myself. Listen, yes, you can. If the motivation is great enough, you can control your anger. That's the real truth of it. The motivation has to be great sometimes, but it will happen. Listen, I've been there when the cop showed up in the middle of the fight. It's amazing how it modifies people's behavior. You know, you got guys, boom, boom, the cop shows up. Hey, cop says, what's going on here? Oh, we're just friends. We're just fooling around. We're just friends. Till you leave, and I'm going to beat the snot out of this guy. But we're friends, okay? Where did all that self-control come from? Well, when they realized there were certain consequences. Don't tell me you can't control your anger. Listen, people can do it. I've seen it. You ought to be a pastor and have someone call you on the phone. See, sometimes people forget that phone picks up all those sounds. And so in an angry home, it's amazing the transition. In the background, what in the French fried filth did you do calling the French? Hi, Matt, how are you? Yeah, fine. Woo, where did all that control come from? Don't tell me you can't control your anger. Just this last week, Congress awarded Jackie Robinson. You know, Jackie Robinson was the African-American baseball player. He broke the color line in the major leagues. Congress awarded to him posthumously the highest award that Congress can give to a civilian. Now, the truth of it is, in one sense, the award they gave him was for controlling his anger. Do you know that? I mean, Jackie Robinson's challenge was not to be a great baseball player. He was a great baseball player. His challenge was managing his anger against the unbelievable things that people said and did to him. The unbelievably crude things that they said to him. The coarse behavior that he had to endure. And the truth of it is, it was not easy for him. One of his teammates said he was a combative person by nature, and that restraint went against his personality. But it was because he controlled his anger that he became such a fabulous athlete. But listen, all professional athletes, except Rasheed Wallace, understand that you need to control your anger. It's true. Talk to a Blazer fan for that last one. Okay, all right. So, look, here's what I'm saying. Between the strong emotion, that's the first word for anger, and the state of emotion, there is a choice. And the choice is what you get to make. See, here's the interesting thing. Do you know who makes you so mad? You do. Now, that may be a shock to you, but you need to know that truth. I know you think it's someplace else, but listen, there's a choice. I make me so mad. In fact, that would be good for all of us to practice saying that, because that's the truth. All righty? We're going to say, I make me so mad. We'll try it all together. Ready? I make me so mad. No, come on. Say it like you say it to someone else. Ready? I make me so mad. There you go. Feels a little strange, doesn't it? But it's probably one of the most true things you've said in a long, long time. Until we recognize that between the emotion and the action, listen, the state, there's a choice, then we're never going to be able to move forward. You can control your anger. You better believe it. And you better believe that you are the one that's responsible to do it. You can learn to make better choices with regard to your anger. Okay, let me take you to the third myth, which is tied to the word malice, okay? Malice is the desire to do evil to someone or something. And here's the myth that goes along with it. That is, my anger comes from people or things. There are lots of people who believe this. Lots of people believe that their anger is rooted in other people or other things. Listen, many people think it's things that cause their anger. As a matter of fact, it's a special category of thing. Stupid things. If they're not stupid, they can't make us angry. Fortunately, there's an abundant supply of stupid things out there. And you may not believe me until I ask you about it, but let me ask you, how many of you have ever driven a stupid car? Raise your hand. Here in the summit. Hey, look at all those people. Now, was the car stupid when you bought it? No, you trained it. You see? Stupid car. See? There it is. You blessed the car by declaring it to be stupid. You see? How many have operated a stupid computer? Oh, look at all that. Manufactured, of course, by the stupid computer company. Isn't that true? No, man, let me tell you. See, when we believe that somehow tied up with a thing, it's amazing the stuff that we end up to do. Any of you ever been in stupid traffic? Lots of stupid traffic out there. But you've never said, hey, that look at that, that's really smart traffic right over there. No one's ever said that. You come in, stupid traffic. Just a couple of weeks ago, I got caught in a stupid elevator. I was in San Jose. I was supposed to do this little broadcast thing. I got on an elevator made by the Glacier Elevator Corporation. That thing moves so slow. I honestly thought it was broken down. I'm late for the broadcast, and I'm in there, stupid elevator. I'm ready to tear the thing apart and rewire it on the spot. Okay? That's how we work, you see? For some of you, it's not stupid things. It's stupid people, right? Some of you have a stupid boss, right? Don't raise your hand. He may be here. Careful. Okay? But that's what we do. You're going to be shopping, Christmas shopping the next few weeks, and you're going to run into a stupid salesperson. And the person in front of you, they weren't stupid for them. The person after you, they won't be stupid for them. You'll make them stupid just the minute you show up. Do you see what I'm saying? So, some of you, have you ever seen a stupid driver? There's lots of stupid drivers out there, aren't there? Isn't it amazing? But you've never said, ooh, there's another smart driver right there. See? We honestly believe this stuff. And if you allow yourself to believe it, look, it doesn't work. Let me ask you a question. Did the elevator make me mad? No. They don't make elevators with that kind of power. I make me so mad. Do you understand? You got to learn that one. I want to let you say it one more time with me. Ready? I make me so mad. Practice saying that. It'll help you. Okay? You get stuck in traffic this week, roll down the windows, share it as a blessing with all the people around you. I make me so mad. If you're in an office and your computer locks up, I make me so mad. They'll enjoy the variety, believe me. Okay? You're in the Department of Motor Vehicles, go ahead, say it. I make me so mad. They'll lock you up for it, but that's okay. It's what you wanted anyway. All right, so Now, the next myth, there's a little typo in the next myth, and it really ticks me off. So anyway, I want to show it to you. Now, look, myth number four actually belongs with the word for filthy language, and myth number five actually belongs with the word slander. So there's a switch there. I'm going to put up on the screen there. If you kind of follow the arrows, you get the idea. You can kind of switch the two. Okay, so just go to the word slander, and I'll give you the right myth. Slander, of course, is the desire to speak evil of someone or something. Here's the myth. Talking out our anger will make it go away. Okay? This is important. Talking out our anger will make it go away. Now, listen, there's a possibility for you to really misunderstand me. And there's some of you right now who are blessed, even as you hear me say that, because you're saying, oh, if what he says is true, then I don't have to go to the counselor like the judge told me I do. Okay? And some of you are worried by what I said because you're saying, uh-oh, I don't think he's going to go to the counselor like the judge told him he has to, okay? And there's another bunch of you, and you're mad at me because you are counselors, and you're saying you're taking clients away from me. So let me just make it clear. I'm not talking about therapy here, okay? That's not my point. A good therapist will help you to deal directly and wisely with your anger. Let me say one thing more. For some of you, it'd be a good thing for you to go see a therapist. It wouldn't hurt you at all. In fact, it might help you. Help me. And I've seen help an awful lot of other people. So maybe that's one of the things you need to do in order to grow in your anger. But I'm not talking here about therapy. I'm talking about slander. And slander is when you're complaining about someone else to someone. See, slander is when you complain to a friend of yours about someone else that makes you angry. Let's say you're a boss. And you get together with your boss and you say, oh man, you know that guy, you know what I'd like to tell him? I'd love to tell him where he could put his job. And your friend says, you are so right. And that helps you, doesn't it? Because then you can get madder at your boss. And your friend says, you are so right. And then you can get even more angry. See, it doesn't make anger go away. It actually builds it up. Do you know that? I'll prove it to you. Watch here. We're going to divide the room into two parts. Do it with me in the summit. If you're on this side, this half, all you need to do is just to imagine someone who has offended you. He was wrong. Okay? You get that? That's your whole line. He was wrong. Okay? Let's try it together. He was wrong. Come on now. Get in touch with your anger with me, people. Okay? Now, one more time. Ready? He was wrong. That's good. Okay? Now, over here, you are supportive friends. Okay? And what you need to do with your supportive friends is always tell them, you are right. Okay? So, you got your line? Really back them up. Ready? You are right. Okay, good. Now, got your lines? Here we go. From the top. Here we go. He was wrong. You are right. He was wrong. You are right. He was wrong. You are right. Ah. Anybody feel the peace of Jesus flowing through your veins right now? Doesn't work, does it? Where do we ever get the idea that by getting together and blasting someone who's not in the room and having our friends say, that's right, that it would ever help us address our anger? It doesn't. It cranks our anger up to new levels. Do you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, if you got anger with somebody, you need to go and deal with them. Now, if you need help on learning how to deal with them, that's great. But you have to unlearn the myth in order to say, I have to learn how to do this thing. Don't buy the myths. Okay, the very last myth is tied up with the word filthy language and the vulgar speech. And the myth is this: anger is best managed by unleashing it. This is very important. There are a lot of people who believe this. You just let it out. You just blow off all the steam. You got something churning inside of you. You just get right there with the person that's bugging you and you vomit all over them, okay? You use all your best bowling words and lots of other languages you make up on the spot, and you just nail them because you got to get that stuff out. Let me tell you, it doesn't work. The truth of it is, it just cranks up your anger. This does not help people to control their anger. You know what? I'll tell you this, though. It can be fun. You find someone who's dumb enough to let you just cuss them out, you can feel pretty powerful for a minute or two. Really. But you'll just want to cuss them out some more. It won't make it go away. And do you want to know something when you're unleashing your anger? This is something I figured out over time. People don't want to be unleashed on. Did you know that? It's not really a lot of fun. And if you don't believe me, you can do that with a little experiment. Take somebody who's made you angry. For instance, if you have a job, take your boss. Grab him this week and say, you know, I'm performing a little experiment. Sit down. And then you think through all the things that your boss has ever done to make you angry. And then you share with him in your richest possible vocabulary what you think of him. Just dump it out, okay? And then when you're done, say, now, I'd like to get a little feedback. How helpful has this been for you? Okay? Just do that. Get his input, because I think it'll help you maybe with your new boss to think what you should do the next time, all right? It doesn't help us. And I don't know where we ever got this idea. You know what Jesus teaches us? He says we need to learn to deal with in the right way with our anger at the right time with the right person at the right amount. And you can't learn that if you believe the old lies, you see? You say, okay, well, great, but, you know, what is the alternative? Well, I can't take you into it too much. That's what we're going to be doing with the whole rest of the month. But let me just at least take you to the remainder of that Colossians passage. Look at that Colossians 3 and verse 12, because I can at least kind of give you a little bit of a warm-up, okay? The first thing is you just need to know who you are. That's Colossians 3:12. Take a look at it. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You got to get that in your mind. Who are you? Listen, if God says something about you, there isn't anybody else that's going to change that, okay? I mean, the truth of it is, people can't change who you really are unless you let them. I mean, just let it sink into your bones. God has set his love on you. And be struck by that. God knows you. He knows all about you. He knows what you've done and what you wanted to do. He knows what you said and what you wish you could say. And still, he loves you. If you get that and you really know who you are, it'll give you a safe, sound place in which to stand. And it'll give you some strength and leverage to stand against all these crazy expressions of anger. Okay? Then, if you learn a different way to see, that's the next thing, the next few verses, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Each one of those important. Compassion, which is seeing them differently. And we'll talk about that more in another talk. But what it takes to see someone else differently. And kindness, to see your options differently. And humility and gentleness and patience. This is allowing you to see yourself differently. See, the truth is, what we need to learn is how to interpret things in a different way. Between the emotion and the action, there's an interpretation that we make. You're stupid. We need to learn how to quit that. Because then there's a decision. I get to be mad. No, you don't. And if you learn to control the interpretation, it'll really help you to make a wiser action. And that's the different choices that are yours. Look in verse 13. Three of them, really. Bear with each other. There are many people here. It will be a great day for you when you say, you know what God has for me? He's teaching me that I need to bear with some people. God's borne with me for a long time. I need to bear with some other people. And the next one is to forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. For some of you, I want you to hear me on this. You will never make progress in the realm of anger until you learn to forgive. We will spend time on this subject, especially at the end of the month. But if you don't grow in forgiveness, you will never learn to manage your own anger. You should just know that. And you say, well, okay, how much do I have to forgive? Well, the measure is right here. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How much did God forgive you? Everything. Okay, then we need to learn how to express forgiveness much more expansively than we do. And it's a skill, but you can learn it. And then finally in verse 14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If you're not sure what to do, you can always be right saying, I'll bet you this is someone who needs to be loved. It's a wise response. So again, we'll be looking at these together. But what I want you to just get the principle. In fact, you can put it down at the bottom if you want to. Here's the truth. Anger is normal, but sin is optional. Anger is normal. You can't rid yourself of anger. But sin is optional. That is, you can tame your temper. You can make different interpretations that allow you to make different decisions that lead to different kinds of actions. It's possible, okay? Now, I just want to say that as we look at all this, it's a growing thing. We're going to be looking at this all month long, okay? So let's just agree this is a growing thing, and let's encourage one another to grow. I don't want anything that I have said today to be turned into a weapon. See, it's possible for you to take what I said today and having elbowed someone for the last half hour to say to them, "Did you hear what he said?" and beat him to death with this stuff, okay? The truth of it is, this is a growing thing. And guys, let's just recognize that. We all need to grow. When I went to seminary, I was just talking with my family about this week. I went to seminary, and I was a brand new follower of Jesus Christ. And in seminary, they make you do all kinds of weird things. And one of them is you do a practice sermon, which is great. They put you in a room. There's like six people in the room, so that feels normal. And then you just sermon at them, and you don't know what you're talking about, but that's okay. They don't know what you're talking about, and it works out perfectly. But in the back, there's a professor, and he's judging and grading everything you say. So they put me in a room, and I just blistered these people, and who knows what it was about. But when I got done, the professor said to me, "Well, that's pretty good, but I need to grade you down because of minced swearing." I said, "I never heard that word before." He says, "It's not a word. It's two words, minced swearing." I said, "Even those two words, I still never heard of it. I don't know what it means." He said, "Well, look, let me tell you. In your talk, you said gosh, you said heck, you said geez. And all these are just short forms. Gosh means God, and heck means hell, and geez means Jesus. And that's just all ways of swearing. And so all you did is mince it. You just cut it off. And so I have to grade you down for minced swearing." I said to him, "If you knew the words I didn't use, you would give me a much higher grade." You understand? So do you understand what I'm saying? It's a growing thing. We all are growing. I don't know where you are. We're all in a different place, but look, for the next month, wherever you are, let's just all grow, okay? I promise you ample opportunities to get angry in the next month. There's an abundant supply, okay? Now the question is, what interpretations will you make? What decisions will you make? And what actions will you choose? You see? And that is what you and I can grow on in the course of the next week. You got it? Ready to pray? Let's do it. Thanks for listening. I really mean that. Thank you very much for listening. If you've never thanked God for his patience, this is a great time to do it. Just think about how patient God has been with us. He asks us to bear with one another. Just think about how much he's had to bear up with us. If you've never just thanked him, that, I mean, God knows everything about you. And still, in his kindness, he waits for you to get it. If you never just said, "God, thank you for tolerating me," this is a good thing to pray. If you never thanked him for forgiving you, this is a great thing. I mean, God has forgiven us. Just if you realize the depth of that, God knows you. He knows what you've done, and he knows what you thought about doing. He knows what you said, and he knows what you thought about saying. And still, he has forgiven you. If ever anyone was justified placing his anger on us, surely it was God. But he lifted that anger through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his forgiveness, and you ought to thank him for that. If you've never received that forgiveness, you ought to do it right now, because it's there just for the receiving. God's made the opportunity for you to receive full forgiveness through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll just be honest enough to say, "God, I realize I could never earn it. I get it. It's a gift. But I want to thank you and receive that gift." Maybe you need to receive specific forgiveness and experience it today. When we talk about anger in general, it's not a general thing. You are thinking right now about a conflict with your family or a conflict with your coworkers. Now's the time to say, "God, I see how I've behaved, and I want to ask for your forgiveness." You need to take that in. God wants to give it to you. He wants you to experience it. It's a good time for you to stop and say, "God, I see I bought into the myth. And I made the interpretation. I judged people. I called them stupid. I felt justified in blasting them. And it was wrong. It's a great thing. Tell God that you know it. Ask for his forgiveness. Father, I just want to thank you really for your kindness and tolerance, patience with us. We realize if ever anyone was justified in being angry, it would be you. So thank you for lifting your anger through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look forward to this month together, we pray you'll help it to be a growing thing for us. Just, Lord, you know where we are. And for every one of us here, we're not where we would like to be. So please, by your kindness and grace, will you help us to grow so that we can reflect the goodness of your name. We pray in that name, the name of Jesus. Amen.